couple weeks ago, I saw something on Facebook. Ben showed it to me here shortly after I had seen it as well. And what it had to say gives us some opportunity to pause and ponder. It's one of those statements that you have to come away and ask yourself a question about how thankful we are as people. And here's what that statement had to say. Maybe you saw it as well, or maybe you have heard it before, but it said, what if you woke up only with the things you thank God for yesterday? Pretty sobering question, isn't it? What if you woke up with only the things you were thankful for yesterday? What if that were true? What if that were true? Would we purposely neglect to thank God for the chemistry test that we have? Or maybe that obnoxious sibling or the overbearing boss? What if that statement were true? That we only had today what we thanked the Lord for yesterday? We give thanks for things when we purchase them, I would suggest anyways, or suppose that you do. You buy another car and you pull off the parking lot of the place where you purchased it, and you pause and give the Lord thanks for this new vehicle that you're driving away in. We may do that on any number of occasions with new things. We buy a new house, we do something that is of significance in a purchase, and we thank the Lord for those. And we may do it just once. But how about a month from now or a year from now? Are we still giving God thanks for those things? Glenn, even when they break down, right? The stuff that we decorate our house with, we go to the store and, you know, it's Christmas season and we see something new that we think will be festive, and so we purchase it and we take it home and we decorate our home with it in some way, or maybe just generally some decorations. Do we stop and thank the Lord for that item? We push our grocery cart out and the sliding doors part as we exit the store, and our grocery basket is full with bags of things we have just purchased. And yes, we may go down the road and put them in our vehicle and drive down, but when we go a week from now and open up the pantry or the refrigerator or the freezer, do we pause to give the Lord thanks for those things? Open up your closet door or your dresser drawers, and we see the clothes that we have. When I went this morning and put on my suit and selected the shirt and the tie that I wore, I even had an option of two different pair of shoes. And I think about brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world that don't have that opportunity. Am I thankful that I have more than one suit or more than one shirt? This morning when you came to church, you probably had the opportunity to select one of different translations of Scripture, or maybe you have a favorite translation of Scripture that you bring with you. Are we thankful for those when we realize that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who may have one copy to share among 20 or 50, or they may have a piece of paper that has a verse scribbled down on it? We come into a warm building with lights. We're grateful for those on damp mornings such as today, or cold mornings such as occurred a couple of weeks ago when it was 21 degrees and Jonathan decided that it was still warm enough to ride his motorcycle. But it was a warm building that he came into. Are we thankful every Sunday that we have this opportunity, knowing that there are those of our brothers and sisters in Christ who, on the day we celebrate gathering together to worship Him, that they meet in a cave? Or they're down under the floorboards in a crawl space in their home, using a single candle not only to see by, but also to warm the area that they are worshiping together in. How thankful are we as people, really? We have been so blessed as a nation. We have been so blessed as a people. We have been so blessed as a church. But yet, how thankful truly are we when we think about all of God's blessings? Psalm 95 and verse 2 tells us we are to let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Psalm 86, 9, all the nations You have made will come and worship before You, O Lord. They will bring glory to Your name. Psalm 22:23, You who fear the Lord, praise Him. Psalm 9 and verse 1, I will give thanks to You, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all Your wonderful deeds. Those verses and the passage we are going to look at, and I invite you to turn, if you haven't already, to Psalm 100. Those verses remind us that we are to give God praise, that He is the one who is deserving of our praise and gratitude, our thanksgiving. And as we celebrated this past week, gathering together with family or friends, whether it was a large group or a small group, we gather and it is an opportunity. Our government long ago established that day to say thanks to the God who was the one who brought about the nation we live in. And so while we do it on a day, do we pause to give thanks every day? I wish I could stand here and tell you that I was of a mindset that I could practice that on a regular basis and be a model for you to emulate that. I'm an example of someone who does that. I wish I could say that, but I don't. And why is that? Paul reminds us, as he writes to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 21, he says this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. We need to be a thankful people. You see, the problems in the world aren't social. They aren't civil. It isn't about gender equality or unemployment issues or any of the social ills that are going on in our world today. They aren't the result of wars and civil wars and other infractions and catastrophes that are man-made, those kinds of things. The problem, those are manifestations of the problem, Paul says, evident in our country, in our world, and it is an ingrateful heart. They neither glorified Him nor gave Him thanks. We are called to give thanks to the Lord. People, that is. We feed our dog every day. Sometimes we give her the scraps from the table, but there hasn't ever been one occasion in which she stopped and looked up at us with grateful eyes and said, thank you. She just digs right in. Yeah, that's her nature. We have been created for the purpose of praising God, to giving Him thanks. And so we see how ungrateful we are in the lives of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus and asked Him to heal them. And Jesus told them to go their way, that they would be healed, and there was only one who came back, filled with gratitude that Jesus had healed him. One author suggested 9 reasons why the others didn't give thanks. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he had never had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyways. One gave the glory to the priest. One said, oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything. One said any rabbi could have done it. One said, I was already much improved. we can come up with a lot of different excuses. But the bottom line is, how grateful are we as a people? In our passage this morning, as we come to this Psalm 100, I want to suggest from each verse there is a reason for thanksgiving. There is the recipient of our thanksgiving in verse 1, the reverence in our thanksgiving in verse 2, the realization for our thanksgiving in verse 3, the response in our thanksgiving in verse 4, and the reason for our giving our thanksgiving in verse 5. Would you stand with me? I'd like to read this and honor God's Word. Follow along in your Bibles, please. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's take a look, first of all, at the recipient of our thanksgiving. We see that in verse 1. We are to shout for joy all the earth. On Thanksgiving Day, Yahoo News posted a little article suggesting that there were ways to teach gratitude. Now, their suggestions are the kinds of suggestions that you would expect to come from someone who doesn't recognize God. And they went on and suggested a number of different things that we need to do in order to teach gratitude. But there was something in the article that I thought was especially close to home. And it troubled me. And this is what the article said. It was uncomfortable to consider, and it suggested that demonstrating or teaching thanksgiving is difficult to teach gratitude, especially on a daily basis when we as adults don't demonstrate it in our own lives. How can we teach others to be grateful when we don't do it ourselves? This is what the article basically was saying. If your Bible has a title for Psalm 100 above it, as mine does, it says something like a psalm for giving thanks. This is the only psalm of the 150 that are in our Bibles that have this title. It's the only one that offers this of giving thanks. It begins with a general call to thanksgiving and describes the recipient of what that thanksgiving should be or where it should go. And it says that we are to come before the Lord with joy. And it is to the Lord, it is to God that we are to give our thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, the NIV says, or make a joyful noise unto the Lord in our King James Version. Here's the thing. There's a lot of noise around today, isn't there? A lot of noise that distracts us. A lot of noise that kind of comes around us and surrounds us. And it isn't wholesome noise. Noise that praises itself. This verse suggests that we are to shout for joy, and that joy is to be directed to only one person, not to ourselves. I'm reminded of the story back in Daniel of King Nebuchadnezzar. On that one day when he stood out and looked at all his vast kingdom, and he glorified himself, and he gave praise to himself. It suggests to me that all too often I look around at the empire that I have built and I only give myself thanks. Psalm 100 in verse 1 is a call to give thanks to the Lord. The Bible isn't just filled with historical events about real people and real kingdom. It is laced with praise and thanksgiving by all kinds of people for all kinds of things that God has done. When you look through Scripture, beginning in Genesis and all the way through, we see evidence of opportunities when people recognize the hand of God in delivering or in providing in some way and pausing to give them thanks, to give God thanks. The Psalms of David reflect his thanksgiving to God for provision and deliverance. After the ark settled on Mount Ararat and they were able to go and exit the ark, Noah built a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God for his deliverance. and for the covenant that God was establishing with him. Abraham offered a sacrifice to express thanksgiving for the provision of that ram in exchange for his son there on the mountain. Following the exodus of Israel from Egypt and the demise of Pharaoh's army, who were all drowned in the Red Sea, Moses took up a chant, a song of praise with all the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, as they came out of the Red Sea. They gave God the glory for deliverance. In the law given by Moses, given to Moses by God to hand down to the people of Israel, he established a peace or thank offering that was a spontaneous expression of gratitude. Unlike all of the other different festivals and feasts and sacrifices that were established and were to be done on specific days of the year, this one was one that was done just in spontaneity. When they recognized God's provision, they just were to give a thank offering. We sing the chorus on occasion, you know, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We are to be thankful. And it is to be directed to the Lord. Many have gathered this week to give thanks about many things, but will ignore giving thanks to the one from whom they have received those things. Why is that? And I ask myself the question, to whom then do they give thanks? Do they thank their boss? Do they thank whatever? Do they thank Mother Earth for producing whatever it was that they grew to have so that they could eat? To whom do they give thanks if it isn't directed to the Lord? We are to shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Thanksgiving is to be a continuous proclamation to God expressed through joyfulness as we loudly and publicly give Him praise. The psalmist is telling us that we shouldn't stifle our thanksgiving, but that we should openly express praise to God. He is telling us not to subdue that praise, not to be quiet about it. Because He has done great things, He deserves unbridled praise. And so we sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This verse tells us that we are to joyfully shout to the Lord our thanksgiving. But it also says that it isn't just for Israel. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Everyone is to be engaged in recognizing that God has given to us these blessings and that they come from Him and that He is the one who is to receive our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is to be a continuous proclamation to God. We see in Revelation 7, in Revelation chapter 19, and you can turn to those passages later this week, but in those passages specifically, as John has been given a vision of events to come, he sees that there are people from every tribe, tongue, and nation who are gathered around the throne, and they are in an ongoing expression of praise to God for His blessings. All the world, all the nations, are to recognize and give praise to God. Ephesians 5.
Oh, thank you very much.
Debauchery instead be in the next two verses, and he shares what are the expressions when a person is led by the Spirit, when he is filled by the Spirit. This is what he says. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing music, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the result of being filled with the Spirit. The first thing he suggests of four results is that we will communicate with one another with psalms. They were Old Testament psalms, the 150 that we have recorded in Scripture for us. They were to sing those to one another. They were expressions of thanksgiving to God. And not only sing to one another, but especially to sing together and resonate their praise to the Lord. And then they were supposed to mix that with hymns and spiritual songs. Hymns were songs composed by other Christians. Through church history, we have a collection of thousands of hymns. So Fanny Crosby wrote some 8,000 hymns herself, and then we have the hymns of John and Charles Wesley and Isaac Watts and John Newton, and the list goes on and on and on and on. From old times up till now, the hymns of the church have sustained us through difficult times. I would encourage you, if you don't already in your home have a hymnal, to go out and purchase one. Whether you can carry a tune or not is irrelevant. Have the opportunity just to pick up a hymnal, and whether you pray the song back to the Lord or sing it back to the Lord or gather together and sing with others, I would encourage you to do that. Sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There are a lot of songs today that don't deserve the ink and the paper that they were written on. And our church history is rich with great songs that remind us of doctrine and who God is, and they are expressions of praise. Some of the songs today as well express gratitude to the Lord, and so I would encourage you to do that. But we are to have a song in our heart. We sing that song in our hymnal. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. And then it goes on in the chorus, in my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody of love. Sing songs. Church music then should be a means of believers ministering to each other, and singing should be a means of worshiping the Lord. So I ask us this morning, as we sing our songs, Sarah and Elaine select the songs that we sing, are they expressions of the heart? Do the songs we sing express thanksgiving to God, or more importantly, do the songs we sing come from hearts filled with thanksgiving? Third result of that passage in Ephesians 5 of being filled with the Spirit is always giving thanks to the Lord. And I want to underscore and emphasize that word always. To be continuous for all things. It isn't a one-time event or even just to be done once a week. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, do you know it? Shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Isaac Watts wrote a beautiful hymn in joining us to praise. The title of it is, We're Marching to Zion. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. And the second stanza is something that really causes us to ponder. It gives pause for us to consider. And he says, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. They are directed to the Lord, and they are shouts of praise and thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 exhorts us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When bad things happen, many people want to blame God and not give Him thanks. But when we recognize that even in this, it is meant for our good, we can give Him glory. Would you agree? On one of those rare occasions when I did pause to thank the Lord, it was a couple of weeks ago. I had come out of the office up here, and I noticed that my tire was low. It had one of those indicator lights on the dashboard that said, check your front right tire. And I got out and I looked at it, and sure enough. So I got my tire gauge out, and it read 7 pounds. So I made it to the corner gas station and put air in it and parked it in the garage and went out the next morning to come to the office, and it was low again. So I turned the compressor on and I pumped it up and I drove to the tire store and I sat there and I'm reading a little bit. But is it inconvenient? Sure it is. But an hour later, when they were all done, they brought the car out. He said, "You're all set," and I drove away. I had a little piece of metal in the tire. But here's what I did as I drove away. I said, "Lord, thank you that you kept me safe while I drove on a tire that was bad. Thank you that I didn't get in an accident because I had a flat tire. Thank you that it didn't cost anything." And so, in all circumstances, good and bad, we need to pause and recognize that God is the one who deserves our thanksgiving. Verse 2, we see the reverence in our thanksgiving. Your translation may have either the word worship or serve. Both convey the same meaning. We see it used the same way in Romans 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service," the King James reads. But the NIV says that it is an act of worship. Service is often used in the Old Testament in connection with Israel's worship. It can speak either to a broader way of life, referring to an overall way of life, and that everything we do and how we do it should be seen as an act of worship, right? When I'm at work, when I'm grocery shopping, when I'm driving, wherever, when I'm taking a test, when I'm studying, whatever I'm doing, everything is to be seen as an act of worship to the Lord and how I do it. That's the broader sense, but there's a narrow sense in which the psalmist is using the word here, and it speaks more to a personal way of life. In the context of giving God thanks, the psalmist is using the term in the narrow sense of the word, speaking about the personal activity of praising God, that it is specific to what I do, that in this moment I'm giving God praise. We worship God by giving Him honor and adoration that He deserves, because He is the God, because He is God, and we do so with gladness and with joyful songs. It's what Revelation 4 and Revelation 11 or 7 speak about when the 24 elders and the four living creatures and all the angelic host are gathered around the throne and they're giving God praise. Look at your hymnal. Hymn number 1. "Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to His feature tribute bring, ransom, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore His praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia, praise the everlasting King." And then number 2 here, "Holy God, we praise Thy name. Holy God, we praise Thy name, Lord of all, we bow before Thee. Holy, all on earth Thy scepter claim, all in heaven above adore Thee. Infinite Thy vast domain, everlasting is Thy reign." And then number 3, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our" what? "Our song will do" what? "Rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity." Our hymn book is filled with wonderful psalms expressing gratitude to the Lord. We need to praise Him. Stephen Charnock, who was a Puritan, called worship nothing else but rendering to God the honor that is due Him. A.W. Tozer wrote that God wants to cultivate within us the adoration and admiration of which He is worthy. He wants us to be astonished at the inconceivable elevation and magnitude and splendor of Almighty God. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." In Judges 5:9, "Hear this, you kings, listen, you rulers, I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song." As we think about who God is, we need to stop and give reverence to Him in song, in worship, in adoration, in thanksgiving. John MacArthur wrote that music and liturgy can assist or express a worshiping heart, but they cannot make a non-worshiping heart into a worshiping one. The danger is that they can give a non-worshiping heart the sense of having worship. So the crucial factor in worship in the church is not the form of worship, but the state of the heart of the saints. If our corporate worship isn't the expression of our individual worshiping lives, it is unacceptable. If you think you can live any way you want and then go to church on Sunday morning and turn on worship with the saints, you're wrong. What he's saying is it's difficult to be thankful on Sunday if we aren't thankful in the week.
Such an attitude is difficult to reverence God. If we have not prepared the heart during the week to reverence God in praise, then our praise will come from a weak heart. As we come before the Lord to worship Him, is it with gladness? Are we singing with joy? Is it with a ready heart, one of reverence? Verse 3, the realization for our worship. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We need to stop and remember that we belong to the Lord, that we are part of His flock. He will care for us. We belong to Him, and He has sovereign rule over us. We are His sheep, and as His sheep, He will take care of our needs, and we can give thanks for Him. Psalm 23 is a great reminder. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need to remember that God is sovereign over us, that He made us. Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to recognize and realize how tenderly the shepherd cares for us and has made us the way we are, and to give Him thanks. Verse 4, we see the response in our thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. The psalmist has in view here the temple, and as an individual came to the temple, the first thing that he would approach were the gates in which he would enter into the temple. And it says here that as they were to enter into the gates, or coming to the gates, they were to give thanks. Whether in song or in prayer, it didn't matter, but they were to have a heart that was thankful, preparing them to meet in the presence of God. Because when they entered through the gates, then they were to give praise to God. So give thanksgiving as they were to enter, and then praise as they came into the courtyard there. And it was in that area that they met God. When we come through those doors this morning, are we coming with thanksgiving? As we come in and sit down here on a Sunday morning to worship together, are we giving God praise? Because it is in that experience that we come to meet God and God with us. David Edwards, in his book Worship 365, writes, when we praise God, we are ringing the doorbell, making our presence known, letting Him know that we have come to see Him. When He hears our praise, He gets up to open the door and invites us to come in. When we go inside, we move from praise to worship. In other words, praise is the vehicle into God's presence, and worship is what we do once we get into God's presence. We are to enter His presence with thanksgiving and praise. And the final thing I see here in verse 5 is the reason for our thanksgiving. This kind of sums it all up. The psalmist writes, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Multiple times in the Psalms we read those words, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. We sing a chorus about that as well. Was that one that we sang this morning? Yeah. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good, His love endures forever, and so on. How do we come to know that the Lord is good? We know it because of His mercy and His love. That's what the verse suggests. We know that the Lord is good because we experience His mercy. We know that the Lord is good because we experience His love. And in that, we give Him thanks. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. It continues forever. It is the same for that generation. It is for our generation and the generation to come. It will never change. God is always good. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time.
Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, once stated that so long as we receive are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Scholars Kyle and Dalich state that the mercy of God is the generosity of His love, and the faithfulness is the constancy of His love. It will never alter. It will always be the same. We are to come to worship. We come to meet the Almighty King of the universe, and in that we give thanks. So verse 5 sums up God's character and reminds us that He will never revoke the promises that He has made, and in that we are to give Him thanks. Psalm 100 is the culmination of a series of psalms called the Royal Psalms. They are the Psalms 93 and then 95 through 100. And it sums up, and in this psalm, it sums up their emphasis on the sovereignty of God and His rule, His goodness to His people, and the responsibility of all nations to acknowledge Him, and the importance of God's people exalting and worshiping Him. In 1561, William Cahill took Psalm 100 and he wrote a psalm or a song to it, a hymn. The tune is something that you will be familiar with, but the words probably are not something that we have sung. And Sarah is going to come and play that. And I'm going to do my best to sing this. And on the fifth stanza, they're just short stanzas, on the fifth stanza, it is a song that you know very well. You'll know the tune. It's to the doxology. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, His praise foretell. Come ye before Him and rejoice. The Lord ye know is God indeed. Without our aid He did us make. We are His folk, He doth us feed. And for His sheep He doth us take. Oh, enter then His gates with praise. Approach with joy His courts unto. Praise, Lord, and bless His name always. For it is seemly so to do. Oh, why the Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure. His truth at all times firmly stood. And shall from age to age endure.
Would you stand and sing the doxology with me? That is what oftentimes they would close this hymn with.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Father, this morning as we ponder this psalm, we are so thankful. Forgive us of our negligence in coming and giving You praise for all things and at all times.
in this coming week, and as we have just passed our Thanksgiving celebration day as a nation, but in this coming week, may we be mindful as we drive to the store to give you thanks for safety. As we drive home from work, may we thank you for the opportunity to have a job. May we give you thanks in everything to be more mindful of praising you and shouting joyfully to you, the giver of all good things. And we recognize as well, Lord, that even in the midst of difficulties, in the times of trouble that assail us and assault us, we thank you, Father, that even in those, you teach us and you draw us to yourself. May we be a more grateful people, Father, and may others see the gratitude on our hearts as we express our thanksgiving to you, the one who has given it to us. And we will give you thanks, and all God's people said, amen. Would you take your hymnals? And let's close with 786. 786, Count Your Blessings. We have so much to be thankful for.